Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Hey, what's up with 93%, on average, 90 to 93% of African Americans continuing to vote for the Democrat Party? Isn't it time to get off that plantation? Now I start talking about that the African Americans' allegiance to the Democrat Party and to all the things that come underneath the Democrat Party, in this case, namely CRT, the quote-unquote racism, CRT, that it's trying to solve, quote-unquote solve, and then abortion itself. You can make the case that African Americans, in many ways, are still stuck on the plantation. Now, that's pretty incendiary, isn't it? For me, somebody like me, given the fact that pigmentally I'm challenged, I'm a white guy talking about that. Fascinating subject. We're going to get into that today. With my my slightly older brother from another mother, many of you know who I'm talking about. That would be the Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. His son-in-law, John Amanchukwu Sr., who married his incredible daughter, Crystal. John, I'll refer to as my significant, not my slightly older, he's my significantly younger brother from another mother. He's on his way here. He made the mistake of trying to go to the DMV. So he's going to get here as soon as he can, but I have in my hands the book that John just released recently called Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. And so for an African-American pastor to step into this conversation and say the things that John is saying, not only in the book, but around the country, speaking, doing a lot of stuff with Charlie Kirk now and Turning Point and on radio shows and television, God's really given him a platform right now, which we're thankful for. But I want to jump into this while we wait for John to get here. Chapter 6 is called the Stockholm Syndrome. Do you guys know what the Stockholm Syndrome is? Do you know what that is? So the Stockholm Syndrome was named after a situation that happened back in Sweden's capital city a while ago, where there was these guys that took over a bank, and they dragged a bunch of the bank employees into the vault, and they were there with like hostage demands for days, I think 6 or 7 days. And by the end of this, the people that they had taken captive had a strange affinity for their captors. For some reason, they just had this kind of protective affinity for their captors, named Olsen and Olofsson. And they were like, they hugged them when the siege was over, the hostage standoff was over. And that and the days that followed, this strange phenomenon became known as Stockholm Syndrome, a term that's still used today whenever a victim develops an affection for their oppressor. Now think in terms of African Americans and the Democrat Party here. Okay, that's the context. I'm reading from chapter 6 of John's book, Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. A term that's still used today whenever a victim develops an affection for their oppressor. I share this origin story, John writes, because I've seen Stockholm Syndrome cast its spell over large segments of the black community. I've watched it as otherwise reasonable and self-respecting men and women have lined up to cast their votes for a political party that takes them for granted. I read recently an article in the Wall Street Journal that was written by an African American. He said, the Democrat Party talks about us, they don't talk to us. For too long, John writes, black Christian leaders have made excuses for our oppressors, championing the very policies and philosophies that keep our people in chains. This partisan loyalty is maintained through a strategic social process that we call racialized social constraint, whereby support for the Democrat Party has come to be defined as a normal or a norm of group behavior. He's talking about the African-American community. The result of all this is that to the extent that any individual black American values their relationship with other black Americans, they will continue to act in accordance with the group norm of party support, lest they find themselves socially isolated, right? That's why John writes, and he was talking to a black gentleman that he met at the barbershop, and then they got into substantive issues, and the issue of abortion came up. And the man told John Amanchukwu, that the pro-life cause was a white man's issue, and that John, as a black man, shouldn't waste his time. He goes on. This is chapter 6 from Erased, John's brand new book, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. John will be here in just a little bit. In 1852, Frederick Douglass delivered a speech entitled, What to a Slave is the 4th of July? What a great question. Douglass, who had grown up as a slave and suffered cruelly at the whip of white taskmasters, knew that the promise of this country had not yet been realized in his day. He said this, What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him, more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless, your denunciations of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings with all your religious parade and solemnity are, to him, mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy. A thin veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation on the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. Talking about the fact that we wrote the Declaration, but we still had slavery, right? But there was something else that Douglass knew. He knew that, at its core, the United States of America was a good place, or at least it could be. The seeds of freedom and opportunity for all people, white, black, and every other color, were sown into the founding documents like seeds that would one day sprout when the time was right. Of course, CRT says, that's impossible. So he said this, Frederick Douglass, fellow citizens, I am not wanting in respect for the fathers of this republic. The signers of the Declaration of Independence were brave men. They were great men, too, great enough to give fame to a great age. With them, nothing was settled that was not right. With them, justice, liberty, and humanity were final, not slavery and oppression. You may well cherish the memory of such men. They were great in their day and generation. Their solid manhood stands out the more as we contrast it with these degenerate times. Now, take the Constitution according to its plain reading, and I defy the presentation of a single pro-slavery clause in it. On the other hand, it will be found to contain principles and purposes entirely hostile to the existence of slavery. Though Frederick Douglass was a powerful leader who did much to promote the cause of freedom for black Americans, his rhetoric would be out of step with most of today's black leaders, writes John Amanchukwu. Instead of seeing hope in America's history, they see shame. This is the essence of CRT, like the 1619 Project. Instead of seeing promise in America's future, they see an unending cycle of white supremacy and systemic racism. But if anyone could speak of systemic racism, it was Douglass. If anyone could complain about a lack of equality, it was Douglass. If anyone could suppose that the history books needed to be rewritten, it was Douglass. And yet, he believed that America still held promise for the future and the nation's best days were ahead. Not so, according to CRT. We'll talk to John Amanchukwu about that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and I was just reading to you a little bit from the book Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. Let me finish this one thought here, and I was reading from the chapter on the Stockholm Syndrome, which I explained to you before, and then that's how captors end up with this strange, hard-to-explain affection for their oppressors, okay? And then in the book Erased, John is making that case with respect to the African-American population. 93% of whom vote for Democrats year after year after year. While slavery is far in the rearview mirror, many blacks today have a terrible case of Stockholm Syndrome. Their captors may not carry whips, but they are kept in chains just the same. It is the programs and policies of the Democrat Party that are largely responsible for the breakdown of the family, the cyclical poverty many blacks experience, and the hatred of white people so prevalent in black communities. And yet, most blacks are loyal Democrats, returning election after election to vote for Democratic candidates and the failed platforms they represent. That's why this is such an important book, and that's why we're so blessed by our brother John Amanchukwu, who's the author of Erased. Brother, how you doing? Never go to the DMV before you have a radio show to do, bro. That's just bad call.
Listen, Steve, you are so right. Never go to the DMV before you have a show. But when you have to go and there's no other option, you better go, right?
Especially when you're taking care of something for your bride. Then it's wisdom that rules the day.
That's right. Listen, man, although I'm an author, although I'm traveling the country left and right speaking. At the end of the day, I must take care of my first works, which is home.
Amen. That's exactly right. Well, you're driving your way here, so we'll have you in the studio for the third and the fourth segment, so that'll be great. And by the way, one thing I want to do is I'm going to buy 10 copies of Erased myself, and I'm going to give them away to callers today. So, all right, so everybody, if you want a free copy of John's book, which you need to get, Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion, I want you to call in, and then my friends in Winston-Salem will get your name and your email address and your phone number, and I'll get that in the mail to you. Okay, I'm just going to get it shipped directly to you, and you can get a copy of Erased. I'm going to give away 10 copies, so one per caller, okay? So 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. The phone's going to get busy, so be patient. And if you can't get through, that means the phones are full. And just wait a few minutes and call back in. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Giving away 10 copies of Erased by my friend John Amanchuku. So let's just jump into what I was reading, that Stockholm Syndrome. John, that's one of the things that perplexes me year after year after year is the African-American community continuing to throw down with the Democrat Party, who's really at the forefront of abortion and CRT, things that are not helping them. It's destroying them. What's up with that?
Well, you know, when Lyndon B. Johnson brought in his New Deal for a Great Society, he said that he would have Negroes voting for the Democratic Party for the next 100 years. The man was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
It has worked. And the sad thing is, I don't know why blacks are not able to see the demise that comes from supporting the left. The tragedies that take place in our community are by and large based upon the policies of the left and their intentional plan to destroy and marginalize the black community.
Yeah, and I think that now, if I were saying that, whenever I say anything even close to that on the air or any venue, of course, then I'm disjointed. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just a white guy who's blinded by my whiteness. But for you as an African American to talk about that, I mean, that's the truth that needs to be heard. And then you have a whole chapter, John, on a message to white pastors, and you also have a chapter on a message to black pastors, of which you are one. You married into the family of one. And so, help me understand this as just a white guy who loves Jesus, of what's going on in the black community, because obviously abortion is the number one killer of black people. If you look at all the major cities in America, they're all blue. And when I say that, everybody knows what I'm talking about. And they're all doing poorly. So the party that says they care about black people is the party that's largely leading the effort to kill them in the womb and pretty much starve them out in the big cities, yet they continue to vote for them. I just have a hard time understanding that.
Hey, you and me as well. The thing is, the failure of black pastors and black leaders has had a deleterious impact upon the black community. You know, even when you look at men like Reverend Jesse Jackson, at one point he called abortion black genocide. When it was time for him to run for office, he stole his community down a river, and he would no longer touch that issue at all. And then when you consider men like Raphael Warnock, who's running against Herschel Walker in Georgia, he claims to be a pro-choice pastor. But there's no such thing as a pro-choice pastor or a pro-choice Christian. God does not provide any exceptions. The Bible is clear on what it says about murder. Exodus 20 and 13, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, God speaks of seven things that he hates, one of which is the shedding of innocent blood.
That's right.
These things are clear. But today, you know, everyone wants to practice syncretism. They're bringing in different doctrines into the Christian faith, and therefore the Word of God is becoming diluted. And we have wimps preaching from the pulpits a woke and liberal gospel that is no gospel at all.
That's right, because they're afraid to preach the whole counsel of God, afraid to lose people. So what they're actually trusting in is man rather than God himself. And it's pathetic that any quote-unquote Christian would call themselves quote-unquote pro-choice, because it's literally oil and water. You cannot be one and claim the other. So that's the big problem. How did you – let me ask you this question, John, and we'll hit a break in about a minute and a half. How did you become free? How did you become somebody that was a free thinker and was willing to say no to the status quo of a black man voting for a Democrat every single time?
Well, I was born in the United States of America. So I was born free, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, the liberties that we have in this country are a blessing. If you want to know the difference between America or any other nation or political system, take a look at Brittany Griner. You know, she would much rather be in the U.S. caught with some cannabis oil than to be in Russia right now, right?
That's right.
But yeah, so for me, I was born free, and then I also had the privilege of coming up under the one of the greatest pastors and leaders on the face of the planet, Bishop Patrick Lane Wooden Sr. You know, there's a term called racialized, socialized constraint, where there's this ideology that is normative for blacks to vote one way and do things one way, and everyone has to be monolithic. And because of that, many blacks don't see another alternative
that's
to
right.
voting politically, so they vote one way.
Yeah, that's right. Hold that thought. I'm going to put you on hold, John. We're talking to Pastor John Amichuku. He's on his way in here right now. The name of the book is Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. I'm giving away 10 copies today. 866-34-TRUTH. Give us a call. Perfect. He's in the house, the big man himself, Pastor John Amichuku is in the house. Erased is the name of the book, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. The lines are lit up. So keep calling. By the way, I made the decision on the break. I'll just keep giving out the phone number. All the lines are full right now, but just keep calling. I'll give away as many copies as people that can get through by the end of the show. Okay, so we still got two more segments. You know the phone number, 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number, 866-34-TRUTH. Which, if you're old school, is 866-348-7884. The lines are all lit up right now. So keep trying. Don't give up. We're going to give away a copy of the book to everybody that gets through. And that would be my pleasure and a good responsibility to have to try to spread the message of Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. He's in the studio. Good to see you, John. How you doing?
Thank you so much, Steve, for being patient with me. You are a dear brother. You know, the closer you are with a person, the more honest you are. And Steve did not fuss me out, you all, when we went to the break.
No way.
Thank you so much, Steve, for being kind. All he was talking about was, man, I'm going to give a copy of your book to every person that calls in. Thank you so much, Steve.
Now your wife's trying to call you in the middle of the show.
Yes.
You want to answer that?
I'm going to answer.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
Let's roll the dice here.
Hey, Crystal.
Let's see what he's talking to his wife, Crystal. We'll see how this goes. Did you lose her already? Uh-oh. Don't ever hang up on your wife, bro.
Let's see. Let's see.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see.
You can do this on my show.
You
can't do this anywhere else, but you can do it here. We're just going to have some fun with this. We'll see what happens.
Hello?
We could have put her on the air. That'd be even more dangerous. She's like, Steve Noble's talking about you.
I sent that to the wrong person. I finally made it to Steve's show, and you called.
And we're on the air.
And Steve told me to answer the phone.
And we're listening to your phone call.
And they're listening to the phone call.
I've known this family
yes.
for a long time.
So
Bishop Wooden,
I'll
was there
call
when
you when I leave the
became
studio.
Became an activist, March or April of 2004. So we've got a
All
long
right,
history.
No problem.
And then I was. It was funny when I first knew you were in the picture. I'm like, good luck, bro. You're coming in. You want to marry Bishop Wooden's daughter. You better rise to the occasion.
Listen, that is true. But, you know, if you're walking in righteousness
and
you're trying to do things right,
that's right.
That's the best way to
go.
Bishop Wooden is the greatest pastor on this side of heaven.
Well,
I don't say that because I'm paid to say that.
I know.
I'm saying that because it is true.
That's right.
I've been blessed to pattern.
I've never met another pastor I've never heard another pastor that is as bold and as courageous as
yes,
he is.
Yes.
A black pastor speaking to a predominantly black congregation, and he talks about issues that most black pastors would never talk about. Most white people wouldn't dare to talk about them in the presence of a black person. but Bishop Wooden's out there, though, and that's why I've had such a great relationship with your father-in-law for all these years, since 2004, because neither one of us are affected by the reaction of the audience.
Yes.
Our allegiance is not to them. My allegiance isn't to them. My allegiance isn't to Facebook or listeners or anybody else. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you have that, then you can be bold as a lion. And you're unafraid. And that's the deal with your father-in-law. He's unafraid. And that obviously rubbed off on you.
Yes, this is true. And, you know, I didn't grow up in a home where we talked about Democratic policies and things of that nature, politics, all of that good stuff. But, you know, when I met Crystal at Upper Room Church of God in Christ, I started going home with her on Sundays, and First Lady Wooden would cook the best fried chicken in the world. And, you know, we'd just have a blast. And we were dating at this time. And this is back in...
You were out of school?
No, this is back in 2005.
John played football at NC State.
2006, 2007, that time frame. And Bishop Wooden would talk about the service. That would be part of the dinner conversation, but he'll also talk about politics. And at first I said to myself, man, I think I'm getting into the Adams family, you know? He's at home talking about politics and taxes and school choice issues and the debt ceiling and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Conservative principles. And, you know, I didn't grow up hearing those things. And so at first I said, okay, something's weird here. They just want to keep talking about these issues at dinner. But the more I came and I listened to what he said, I started to develop a biblical worldview.
Yeah,
and that's really what he was trying to do,
yeah.
Right? To put that in me. And so I was discipled around the dinner table. You know, I really came over to the house for two things, Crystal and the fried chicken.
Yeah.
But I got Crystal.
Yeah, you did.
The fried chicken.
Oh, man.
And I was discipled. And now I see clearly and I see
yeah.
rightly. And so I thank God for Bishop Patrick Lane Wooden Sr. Everywhere
Amen.
I go, I
Amen.
Talk about him, and I praise God for his leadership. We need more fathers.
No, that's right.
We need more mentors. And, you know, everyone has to stand on someone's shoulders.
That's right.
You know, and every man needs someone who can yank your chain.
That's right. Exactly.
Right. And so I thank God for him.
Amen.
But I tell you, Steve, we are living in perilous times. America is spiraling downward. I believe Christ is soon to return. It's closer now than it's ever been. But this country is in trouble.
Yeah.
And as we approach this upcoming election, we have some hard decisions to make. Do we go with a group that wants to push abortion on demand
all the way up till the moment of delivery?
Exactly. Or do we go with a group that at the end of the day wants to end abortion and or create heartbeat pills?
Let's yeah,
just be
yeah,
honest, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you that I'm not too happy about the heartbeat bills.
I'm just ban it. You're
right.
Just playing around. That's politics.
Exactly.
If we get a heartbeat bill, you and I both know, because we spent plenty of time standing outside of abortion clinics, that you're not going to get a heartbeat until 5 or 6 weeks. Most abortions don't even occur until 8 to 10 weeks. And so effectively, you're going to get rid of the vast majority of abortions. But that's a political person. That's a political person playing a political game. And for you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ and men of God, we don't play political games.
This is true.
Murder is murder. And I don't need to couch it in any comfortable terms to try to make people like me more. I don't give a rip about their
yeah.
opinion.
And
that
that's the thing. You know, but listen, Moses was a murderer.
Yeah.
But he became the great emancipator.
That's right.
All right. Saul converted to Paul. He was a murderer. Mm-hmm. But he is responsible for writing the majority of the New Testament. What's the message? God loves even the murderer.
That's right.
The mom that's out there that's listening to this and they're saying, well, you know, that term murderer, it makes me feel bad. But listen, if you've asked Christ for forgiveness, he has forgave your sins.
That's right. Amen.
He's thrown that sin over his shoulders.
Amen.
If he's not going back and picking it up, neither should you.
Amen.
But let us save the next baby.
That's
and
right.
We cannot create euphemisms to sanitize sin.
No.
That's the issue of the day. We want to make sin palatable.
Well, when I was getting my master's degree out at Southeastern in ethics, theology, and culture, one of my professors said the gospel is a moral solution to a moral problem. The moral problem being the violation of God's
yes,
law.
Yes,
moral
yes.
solution because payment had to be made, propitiation. So the whole thing, you couch it all in moral terms. Here's what's going on in America, to your point. If in America we can demoralize everything so that nothing is really ultimately immoral.
Right.
Killing babies isn't immoral. Changing genders isn't immoral. What you do in the bedroom or out there in the public square isn't. Nothing's immoral.
Right.
If you think that nothing's immoral, then guess what you don't need?
Right.
What you don't need is a savior.
That's right. That's
and
right.
if you don't need a savior, we're all good.
That's right.
So ultimately, this moral conversation that we're having that you make so eloquently and erased is all about the gospel. It's not
That's
about
it.
Politics, not even about the grand old flag or the U.S. of A. It's
no,
about
sir.
Souls. That's ultimately what it is.
That's it.
So we stand up and speak the truth. We call it murder because the law is there to lead you to repentance. And
yes.
if you don't know you've violated a law, you don't need to repent.
That's right.
That's what you think.
That's right.
And then you go to hell. Now, that's a pretty bad deal. And so we stand up and we speak the truth. By the way, giving away copies of Erased. So the phone lines are back open again. 866-348-7884. Get your call in here by 5 o'clock, and I'll send you a copy of John's book, Erased. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. How bad is CRT?
Critical race theory is a monster that destroys our communities. You know, there are many people who would tell you that it's only taught in law schools.
Right.
Right? That's a lie. All right? It's they call it at times cultural responsive teaching.
Mm.
Okay? Another form, you know, of CRT
yeah.
or acronym for it. But the reality is it views whites as inherently racist. And that they're not redeemable of their racism as well, meaning that even if they get born again, they're still going to be racist because of the color of their skin.
Yeah, baked into the cake.
Exactly, it's baked in the cake. Thank you. I like that phrase. It's baked in the cake, but at the end of the day, they can't remove themselves from it because they have to be racist because of the color of their skin.
Right.
They can choose to do good, but they can never be good enough to not be racist. So at the end of the day, if you want to define critical race theory is racism.
Right.
Period.
Period.
Right. Let's just make it simple.
It's resegregating the country.
It is. It's taking us back. We're going back to the Jim Crow
Amen.
Era.
That's exactly
now,
right.
It's not as bad as the Jim Crow
no.
era.
No,
that's
not
just,
as bad.
Let's be honest there.
But it's a
but
pretty good shadow.
It has to
pretty good reflection.
It has the fragments and the particles
right.
of the Jim Crow era.
Hold that thought. Coming up on a break here with Pastor John Amanchukwu. The book is Erased. 844-34-TRUTH for your copy.
Where's that? That value is really low.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you here with John Amanchukwu today, Senior. What does Amanchukwu mean?
It means I know God. And so my first name is John, middle name Kanayochukwu, which means I will keep pleading and trusting in God. And the last name is I know God. So thank God for the John part, right?
Nice and easy. I can do that part. John and I have been friends for quite a while now. He married Crystal, who is Bishop Wooden's daughter, and so I've known Bishop Wooden. He was there the day I became an activist in March or April of 2004. So
true.
We have a rich history of standing in a culture that's quickly going down the drains and speaking the truth of God from the Word of God.
Mm.
And you know, and that's a liberating way to live.
Yes,
we're not really afraid of anybody. I'm not worried about pretty much anything the Lord provides.
Yes, yes.
And the fact that he's using either one of us to do anything at any given time is a miracle in and of itself. So
true.
Praise the Lord for that. But here today talking to John about his book Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. And you were mentioning when you came in here how it's kind of funny when things go viral. So you were showed up on the Tucker Carlson show the other day.
Right.
Because you dared to go down to the Wake County School Board. You spent 3 minutes saying something that was completely logical, common sense, made perfect sense. And in today's world, in 2022, the spice or the salt and pepper on there is the fact that you're an African American. But all
right.
of a sudden, that's why I said to you, it's funny to me that goes viral because
right.
it really shouldn't because it's
right.
just common sense.
Right.
But common sense today is whack.
True.
And like George Orwell said in 1984, truth is treason in an empire of lies.
This is so true.
And that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Speaking truth, which is treason, because we live in an empire of lies.
I love it, Steve. You know, people are afraid to speak truth today because they are, you know, they sense that they may be canceled.
Right.
They may have the rug pulled out from underneath them. And so people are more comfortable with just holding back what they think. You know, we're all taught to not talk about politics and to talk about religion.
Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And, you know, I want to say to the Christians out there, God did not call us to be nice. He called us to be faithful. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between nice and faithful. Nice will cause you to tell a child who's a boy that they can be a girl.
Right.
Faithful will tell that child, being faithful, you'll tell that child, no, God made you a boy, and so therefore you need to be a boy. Or if God made you a girl, you need to be a girl. And, you know, there's so many children who grew up as, some girls who grew up as tomboys.
Yeah.
You know, and Bishop Wooden says this all the time in today's culture. You know, for all the girls who grew up as tomboys, aren't you so glad that the times are different?
Oh, man.
You know, because they would have given you hormone blockers and all of these different things.
Suggest a double mastectomy when you're 13, which is happening.
Exactly. And we are mutilating our up-and-coming generation in the name of gender fluidity, in the name of gender theory. And all of this stuff comes from critical theory. You know, so before you get to critical race theory, which is the focus of my new book, and also abortion, but before you get to critical race theory, there's this ideology of critical theory that came from the Frankfurt School of Germany. It comes from Karl Marx, right? It's Marxism.
That's right.
And everything that came from the Frankfurt School of Germany, these ideologies, they were demonic. They were cruel to the point that 6 million Jews were killed in the name of critical theory, right? And so from critical theory, you have critical race theory, you have hegemonic power, you have intersectionality, you have the patriarchy and sexism and gender theory and queer theory. All of these woke terms are offshoots of the patriarch critical theory.
Yeah.
And so it's fruit from a poisonous tree. And the enemy is doing everything he possibly can to cause us to be divided based upon Marxism and socialism and communism.
Yeah, socialism, Marxism, communism is all about the caste system, right? It's a proletariat. It's the rich versus the poor. You have to separate society, get them to hate each other, and then it's easier to take control of everybody, which is exactly what happens time communism, socialism, and Marxism is deployed. What you get is tyranny. And so it works.
Yes.
I mean, it's like Common Core math couldn't figure that one out, but it's pretty easy if you just look at history. And critical race theory, like you said before, John, we're resegregating the country. We're doing Jim Crow laws 2022. And now instead of the black man being the one that we have to deal with, it's the white guy. And I don't really think in racist terms. Well, that's just proof to you that I actually am a racist. I can't see it.
Right.
It's baked into the cake. There's nothing I can do about it.
That's it.
CRT, abortion's killing kids in the womb. And CRT is destroying hope in the classroom.
That's it.
Isn't that the deal? Isn't that what's happening?
Yeah, 100%. Steve, you know, in the second chapter of my book, There's Nothing New Under the Sun, I want to read something to you.
Sure.
It says, in 2021, Columbia University offers special graduation ceremonies for Native Americans, Blacks, Latinos, Asians, and LGBTQ students. In 2020, New York University moved to begin offering segregated dormitories for students who identify as black, describing the new housing as a way to create a safe space for students of color. A survey of 173 colleges and universities found that 42% offered segregated residences, 46% offered segregated orientation programs, and 72% host segregated graduation ceremonies.
So 70 years ago, segregation's a blight and evil.
Yes.
And today, pat yourself on the back. You've just virtue signaled to the whole world that you're enlightened and woke.
Exactly. Exactly. You're providing more diversity if you have segregation.
It's right? Really amazing.
You're providing more options and equity if you have segregation. We're going in the wrong direction. And as we consider erased and the intent of it really to expose the lies of the left. I'm preparing to do a national tour in 2023. I'm going to churches and to conferences and to school board meetings. Right. And so I don't know what the next stop will be. I've had people ask me to go to Pennsylvania, to Florida, to New York, to Texas, to California. Thus far, I've gone to Chatham County, Wake County, and Loudoun County.
Yeah, up in Virginia.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, man.
In Loudoun County, it was crazy.
Now, praise God for Loudoun County. That was really the Jenga piece that pulled out and dropped the whole thing so that people are starting to pay attention
exactly
to what's happening. I thank God for Loudoun County.
Yes, yes. You know what Merrick Garland and called the parents there domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
And so from there, I mean, things just hit the fan. And so in Loudoun County, students are identifying as furries.
Right.
I.e. animals.
Well, there's a school that installed, the mom complained at the elementary school, and they had the school install kitty litter in the girl's bathroom.
Yes, yes.
Because it was offensive to the girl to make her go to the bathroom and a human. So they actually, I mean, I laugh too. And I go, this whole place is insane. Now, and I ask you what to do before we run out of time. But
sure.
People go, is the world going crazy? Yes. What is crazy? Being crazy is being out of touch with reality. What is reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, what is true? Well, now you're Pontius Pilate.
Mm.
You're right back to the main issue
what
that
is
it's
truth?
Always been. It's what is truth.
That's right.
We believe in a capital T truth that's knowable, discernible. It was written down for us and given to us by God himself. Everybody else believes in small T truths, which are just there. It's like going to Golden Corral.
Yes.
And you just pick what you want based on your lifestyle, and you don't want to answer to anybody with a capital G, so you just blow that off. And that's the destruction of our culture that we're sitting here watching it happen before our very eyes. What can we do? We got about 3 minutes left. What can we do? And we'll have you back on. So this is like the last time we're going to have on. By the way, the phone's finally cleared out. So if you got 3 minutes. So you want to get a copy of Erased, I'll still give you one. 866-348-7884. But you better call quick. 866-348-7884. What can we do?
So ultimately, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. That's what we need to do. We need to turn back to God until our hearts are brought to contrition, until we are broken, until we weep for that which makes Christ mourn or weep. We will continue to see these issues. To the sinner out there, life is nothing more than a horror story. But to the Christian, this human experience is a drama. Why? Because we've read the end of the book.
Amen.
And the Bible says that we overcame Satan by the word of our testimony and by the blood
of the Lamb.
I say to everyone, get a copy of Erased. Call in now. You have a few more seconds to do so. If you can't call in now and you listen to the show after we end, you can go to Erased Book, ERACED book.com, and get a copy there. Post it online. Share it with your friends. The holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving is coming up. Christmas is coming up. You know what happens during that time of the year? We debate. We talk about issues.
Yeah.
If you want to be armed, if there's an uncle who got you last year and they stumped you with something, I want to arm you to knock his socks off and make him sit in the corner and eat his banana pudding alone.
But you got to be armed with the truth. And that's the beauty of all this. That's right.
Exactly.
This is in the last chapter, which is watch, pray, and vote. Watch meaning you need to pay attention. You need to know what's happening around you. Pray is obvious. And then voting, you got to go out and vote. Don't vote for your values, by the way. Vote God's values. Don't vote yours.
That's
I love what St. Augustine said. You put this in the book. Pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you.
No, that's
it's
powerful.
Both, isn't it? It's so powerful.
Yes.
And so we pray in absolute desperation and dependence on the Lord. But remember that the Lord is working through John Amanchuku. He's working through Steve Noble. And he's
that's
working through you as well. So work as if everything depended on you, but pray because ultimately it depends on God. We'll have you back in.
Just don't go
to the DMV next time.
Take care
of that stuff some other day.
Thank you.
But it's great to have you in, as always. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you're doing. and God bless all your efforts.
Yes,
the name
so
of the book, Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. Thanks for all of you that called in today. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
I love it.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.